Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
It never gets old.
Never does it?
No, sir.
Here we go.
With my spirit.
America. We are here officially talking sports with the 12th man on the Tuesday, September the 13th, of course. And I got to do a quick shout out. Happy birthday to my sister, to my big sister, Evelyn. A lot of love for her, too, as well, too. So hopefully she's listening and having fun, too. But
Happy birthday. Thank you.
Welcome to Talk Sports 12th man. And we are so excited to get ready to talk sports. I'm your host, Andre Peterson. And I'm going to score some points tonight, unlike the Los Angeles Rams. I'm going to pass it to some other folks, my co-workers.
Wow.
Yeah, right off the cuff. Let's first kick it off to Mr. JQ Jaquan Jenkins. How are you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, like I tell my co-hosts, I got a little bit of heavy heart, but I'm glad to talk some sports with y'all together. R.I.P. Latrice, love you, miss you, gone but never forgotten. Ready to just talk some sports, get my mind off of it, bro. And that's, yeah, you right off the cuff with a low blow to the Rams.
Mercy. That's what's all we got to kick it off. We got to get the juices flowing. And without further ado, my fellow co-host who loves some LSU and some Louisiana, Rob Ford, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, doing great. Prayers go out to you, my brother JQ.
And
definitely to your family as well, man. But, ready to talk some sports, you know. I've been eating a lot of oysters today, so everything is good.
Come on, man.
I had fried oysters. I had oysters with some brie cheese on top, and then I had some barbecue oysters with some blue cheese on top.
We just got to get Rob like 2 minutes just to tell us about what he ate today. That damn I can't live it. It's going right by.
And had a little double chocolate bread pudding, too. Ooh.
So you know that Rob's in a good mood. That's what we like to do. Oh, man.
My man, he's good, bro. I love it.
All the time. And keep posting pictures, too, man. Eventually, talking sports, 12 men, we may have some pictures of some food, too, man. So that's all
man,
good.
Man, I tell you, man, I had the best smoked soft shell crab ever, man. Remember that smoke flavor? Ooh.
Yeah.
That sounds good. All right. So, sponsors, if you can some way make a tailgate for us and talking sports 12 men, we will be there.
Right.
Center. So, yeah, that's what it's all about right there. How about that?
There you go.
Good deal. All right, fellas, let's get this party started. And for everyone, you know, during football season, guys, we thought it'd be good to kick our shows off on Tuesday so you guys can definitely enjoy Monday Night Football. And plus, we can be the armchair quarterback for the next day, too. So that's what we're going to definitely start doing, especially during the football season. So we'll start probably being more on Tuesdays. But if you want to reach out to your boys, always give us a call. That number is always 424-243-9519. We are on Twitter. Thanks, Rob. Thanks, JQ, for always giving your thoughts. If you go to at the number 12, THMAN Sports, which is 12 Man Sports, you will find us in that arena. And then finally, we are on Facebook. You go to facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you actually type in Talking Sports with 12th Man, you will find us in that capacity as well. Gentlemen, let's kick this party off. The Rams. Yeah, so Monday Night Football was back, and they had a special doubleheader. We're going to talk about both of those games. And one team looked great. The other team, maybe not. JQ, I'm going to kick it off with you, man. What about that Rams offense, or as Rob said, the lack thereof, man? What are your thoughts about that game?
That was sad. I think I saw a stat that said they still haven't scored a point in Los Angeles since like 1994 or something crazy. Like, that's just ugly, dude. I mean, that's just, it's just ugly to start a season that way. And I think a lot of people that didn't take Gurley early thought that's why I wasn't going to take Gurley early, because they just don't have a quarterback that can do anything about it. And Aaron Donald getting kicked out is crazy anyway. But, you know, San Francisco got one of the few wins I think they can get on the schedule against just a hapless Rams team. And we're going to find out for real if Jeff Fisher has the pitchers. Because if this continues, I just don't know how he survives. I just don't know how they do it.
Rob, the ball is yours, Rob.
Well, I think, number one, obviously, I mean, if you're going to put out that kind of performance offensively like you did last night, you got nothing to lose. Put the rookie in the game. Let Jared Goff get some development here. I mean, you spent the first-round pick on him. I think if you're the Rams, you got to get him in the game. Rams' offensive line, of course, is not what it is. It's not what it needs to be anyway. And they don't have the weapons on the perimeter still, too. So, I mean, they got a long way to go offensively. I think defensively they're not as bad as what it seems, but I think the offense just kept putting you in bad situations last night.
I agree.
And so I think the defense is actually, I would say, good. I'm not going to say they're great, but I'll at least put them in a good category. But offensively, they're just so atrocious. You might as well go ahead and put the rookie in the game and go with Jared Goff. Let the kid get some development and hopefully you can build something for the future. And, you know, you brought up Jeff Fisher. I know that's a topic. We might as well kind of blend this all into one. And, you can use the excuse that the Rams have had about 7 different practices facilities and they're maybe a little tired, but – you know, I just think that this is one and done for him in Los Angeles, Jeff Fisher. They have to get a new football coach and bring some life. And I think they're going to have to hire an offensive kind of style head coach, you know, to grow with Goff and Gurley and to build that side of the football and keep a good defensive coordinator.
Yeah, and real quick, Dre, that piece about it, that I don't know if you throw Goff out there because you don't want him to be David Carr, right? We threw him out there with a terrible offensive line. He got sacked so many times that he was never recoverable from that. But then you pay Austin all that money. I think he got targeted 13 times. He only caught 4 passes for like 11 yards. I mean, that's not what I needed to be playing Rob in fantasy this week. I mean, that was just god awful in every stretch of the imagination. I totally agree, Rob. They're gonna have to go offensive minded and get somebody that can grow with Goff. But I will be cautious to throw him to the Wolves. And then you can't bring him back kind of with David Carr's kind of syndrome in Houston, where he never had a chance after he absorbed all those sacks in those first couple of years.
Yeah, I was just letting you guys finish those thoughts. I agree with both you guys. That was some great calls, too. And it's tough, Rob, because, you know, as you said, I mean, you know, he's going to want to keep his job, Jeff Fisher. But, you know, after Hard Knocks, everything that's been going on, I mean, it's going to be tough. And like you said, so he's going to go with the more, you know, obviously experienced quarterback. So that's not the route to go, because as you can see from what we saw last night, I mean, they were just like, they just pretty much bottled up Todd Gurley. They had no weapons, you know. So, you know, going into hopefully next year, they definitely have to address some weapons. Like you said, JQ, they definitely got to get better. That defense is too good of a defense not to be, you know, obviously a top team. So, yeah, pitchers or not, I think this is probably Jeff Fisher's last season, and he's going to, like, usher in the next guy, too, because it's just going to be tough, and then you're going to see the new era as far as Jeff Goff. And I do agree with both you guys getting an offensive guy in there, because they've got the pieces. You need another big play wide receiver, and I think they'll be there and obviously strengthen up that offensive line.
It's Los Angeles, man. You got to come out there with some kind of glamour. And, it's Los Angeles. You got to have some kind of pizzazz. You got to have something that's going to excite the crowd. You got to come out there with a better offensive display than that. And Jeff Fisher didn't even look engaged in that game last night. The football team didn't look ready to play. And it's definitely time for a change there in Los Angeles.
Get your popcorn ready. That's what it's all about.
Mm-mm.
All right. Speaking of offenses, too, another offense that did pretty bad as well was the Redskins offense. I mean, I was pretty fortunate because in fantasy, I mean, I had Kirk Cousins as a quarterback, and I was, like, struggling. I was able to pull it out. But, was that just the I'm sure we were both kind of thinking that the Pittsburgh Steelers were going to struggle, but man, what about that offense, Rob? What are your thoughts about the Redskins and everything?
Well, I tell you what, I think if you're the Redskins, you better be glad you didn't give Kirk First Cousins a big contract this offseason. You know, you want to see if he can – obviously, he did come on strong at the end of last season, but I think you want to see a little bit more out of him. And Pittsburgh, you know, we talked about it a week ago, and, I mean, I believe they're a Super Bowl contending team this season. So, obviously, that was a good football team that the Redskins was going up against. But, you know, I think if you're a Redskin fan, you want to see a little bit more offensively than what you saw last night. Kirk Cousins, you want to see him build on the season that he had on last season. And he's got some decent weapons. DeSean Jackson, Jameson Crowder is an up-and-coming second-year receiver who I think is going to be better this season as well. And they have a pretty solid offensive line, too. So, I mean, I think that was just a poor display on the home field. Like I said, I mean, they were going to be against Super Bowl contending team and the Steelers. But I think this Redskins team should have at least put up somewhere between 24 to 30 points. And I mean, that was a horrible display. And like I said, I think from the Redskins standpoint, yeah, you better be happy that Kirk First Cousins has only got this is a one-year franchise contract, and you have to see if he's worth keeping, you know, at that price going forward.
Browns are ready. The Browns are ready. Go ahead, Jake.
The Browns are terrible. Yeah, but the thing about it also is that he had a small sample size, and you knew that coming into it. You're talking about he got paid that big raise on that franchise tag off of basically an eight-game sample size. So I'm not overly surprised at that. And he looked like he had the jitters to come out trying to justify that contract, that he was awful for large marks of that game. But I'm going to also – you talked about the offensive line. They got to do better than Matt Jones. He's okay, but he's not a bellwether back. And that offensive line committed so many pre-snap penalties to be at home that put them in a whole lot of first and 15s, first and 20s with the holdings and the false starts, that they didn't do him any service either, but he made some just bad decisions and just some bad throws, period. But given the fact that he got that raised off for eight-game sample size, I'm not overly shocked that he tried to come out and do too much against a better, you know, Pittsburgh defense. But – I'm not going to really, I'm not going to give them no love. I'm sorry. That's why I'm
talking about
them. Yeah, I mean, they got a good team, though. I mean, they got a good team. I hate them. They got a good team, though. I can be objective and say they have a good team. And the Redskins for being so blatantly just on a high horse about Breeland that you leave him one-on-one with Antonio Brown when you sign Josh Norman for all that money. He's got to follow him. Yeah. I don't care what you normally do, but he's got to follow him. They're purposely moving Antonio Brown over to Breeland's side in big situations and then throwing him the ball, and he's producing. Once you see that happen, at some point in that game, you have to make an adjustment and say, hey, that's your guy, you know, rain, sleet, or hail, or high water. That's your dude wherever he is in the game, and you cover him, Josh Norman. That's why you're the highest-paid cornerback in the league. Like, you have to do that. So there are multiple things where I think Washington failed, and I just can't put it all on Cousins. He deserves part of the blame, but that decision about Norman and that offensive line with their pre-snap penalties and some of them during the game, you know, during the snap with the holding, was to use Rob's word, was just atrocious.
Yeah, atrocious is the right word. Yeah, I thought Kirk Cousins was pressing a little bit too, Rob. It's what it felt like too. If you watched the game, it just felt like he was trying to do too much. And like you said, JT, probably because of the bad situations and he just seemed like he was, you know, it just wasn't a good scenario whatsoever, too. But, like I said, I know you are not going to talk about Pittsburgh a lot, JQ, but pretty impressive. They just kind of, like, seemed like they were just riding Q. Ben Roethlisberger throwing all across the field, and Antonio Brown is already in preseason form, man. Or, excuse me, season form, man. He was just lighting up. And, like I said, you'd love to see, as a football fan, I would love to see Norman versus Brown. That's what you guys said. I'd love to see that matchup and see like, two of the best players. That's what you want to see, you know, and I hate the fact that we were kind of denied that on a couple of plays too, but that's just kind of, you know, being selfish. That's what I would kind of say about that too. So
even outside of a football fan, just a competitive fan for the Redskins, I think it would give a better chance to win. Not to say that Norman would have shut him down, but you pay him that kind of money, right? Like, you face Antonio Brown in the home opener, he's got a following, doesn't he?
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if you're about to say something, Rob.
Antonio Brown made that defense look like a schoolyard defense.
Yeah, he did.
They could not cover him. But you're right. That's a good point. You want to see Josh Norman out there on him.
All the time. Yeah. All right, Rob, let's talk about this Anthem process real quick, sir. Go ahead. I'll let you start with that.
I'm sorry?
Oh, the Anthem protest, sir. I'll talk about that. Yep, go ahead.
Oh, the Anthem protest. I'm sorry. I know we talked about this a couple of weeks ago with Colin Kaepernick. And actually, initially, I'll have to admit, I was not a big fan of him protesting the national anthem. But I have to at least say right now,
mm-hmm.
you have to admire that the message is getting across. And, mm-hmm. and you know, he's putting his money where his mouth is as well as jersey sales, et cetera. There are a lot of people getting on board with this. And, and I have to at least say right now, I said what he's done is now he's really got the message out there. Like I said, I know a couple of weeks ago when we talked about this, I have to admit I was for the message, but I was against the method. But
mm-hmm.
you know, the method has actually worked, and it's, you know, I have to say I have to admit that I was actually wrong based on what we said a couple of weeks ago, because the message is getting across. In all sectors of life right now. And obviously, there's still a lot of people who are against it, but I have to admit that the message is actually getting across. There are a lot of people that are standing up for it. There's a lot of people donating for the cause, including Kaepernick. And so and there's more and more people jumping on board. And so I think this is a, you know, it's turned out to be a very good move by Kaepernick.
Gotcha. Good call, Rob. Very good. What about you, JQ?
Absolutely. And I remember us having that conversation. I said I couldn't kill him. I think that the method might bury the message that he was trying to get across. But it's worked out. And the one piece that we didn't talk about just now, Rob, is Megan Rapinoe. When you get her as a white lady to do it in soccer and come out mm-hmm. there and make a message where it goes across gender and across race, both in the same context,
wow.
I thought that was also yeah. incredibly brave on her part to give him a nod on that too. So he put himself out there on the line. And you got to say right now, he's winning. Like, he's caught a lot of criticism, but he's winning. And just to finish it up, that Randy Moss face, when Trent Dilfer was talking about it, was priceless. I know ESPN
yep.
was like, yes, we made the right move in coming up with
yeah.
this form and cleaning the house, because that was priceless. And I agree, Rob. I can't say that I would have done that initially, because I didn't want the message like you didn't to get buried in the method. But he's got to be a winner at this point, even though people
Absolutely.
Don't want him to be. But I think he's winning. He hasn't won, but he's winning where he was a definite loser just a week ago.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Straight cash,
changes,
homie.
Man.
There you go.
That's right. That's right. Straight cash, homie. How you get paid for your fun, Randy? Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash, homie.
We love it. We love it. That's we always talk about that, JQ. Whenever me and
yes,
Rob, we used to do that all the time, man. It's also one of the name of my fantasy teams, too, so I love it. I love it. Gentlemen, so I guess let's talk about, and I love Fox 5. They're talking about the Rob Riggle, the skit about Jimmy Garoppolo. That was hilarious, man. So I'm going to kick it to you, JQ. What did we learn about Jimmy Garoppolo this weekend, in your opinion?
You know what? I know it's it wouldn't surprise people, but I'm going to say nothing. And the reason why I'm going to say nothing is because we've seen this story before. His name was Matt Castle, and Tom Brady went down. Mm. Matt Castle, I think, went 11-5 in that system as well, and then he got
yep.
that contract with Kansas City, and he was awful. So they know how to identify talent. They know how to maximize talent, as much as I hate to say it. They know how to come up with a game plan for any particular team, especially if you give them basically all year as the first game to prepare for that opponent. I'm not overly surprised. That's part of the reason why they didn't trade him. They knew that maybe Brady was going to leave, but they also knew they had a backup, and they tried to keep a man, this next man up, do your job in New England. So I'm going to say nothing. I think they identified a good talent that fit their system, and he came out there and did what they thought he was going to do, given the plan that Belichick and Josh McDaniels came up with him on the offensive side and the defensive side. Carson Palmer can be rattled. We've seen it before, and he got rattled again. And big ups to Larry Fitzgerald for doing everything he could do, but – I mean, I'm a little surprised, but I'm not overly surprised because I feel like I've seen this story before.
Dang, Rob, JQ's calling Jimmy Garoppolo, Matt Castle 2.0, Ryan Mallett 2.0. We know on the list of all the quarterbacks that the Patriots have turned into picks and tricking everyone. But what did we learn about Jimmy this weekend, Rob?
Well, I think if you're a Patriots fan, I think, you know, even when we previewed the AFC East, I think all of us still thought the Patriots would still win this division. yep. and that we thought that they could probably still go 3-1 without Tom Brady. And this may have been the game we thought they were going to lose on the road against Arizona. So I think, you know, if anything, we learned that he can stay poised and, you know, and calm under pressure on the road. Because, like I said, this was the one game we thought they would actually lose and going 3-1 in that first four games going on the road against Arizona. So, I mean, there's an outside possibility that they could very well be 4-0 when Tom Brady comes. But I agree mostly with JQ said as well. This is probably more credit to Bill Belichick than it is to anyone else. I mean, the guy just wins with what he has. I think he'll take yours and beat his'ins, and he'll take his'ins and beat yours. I mean, that's just he's a wizard when it comes to being coaching. I mean, you just have to, you know, give credit where credit is due. And but, you know, I think if there's anything you can say about him, you know, he kept his poise. He was calm under pressure. I mean, obviously Arizona had a chance to win that game. They missed a field goal at the end. But still, that was a, you know, a gutsy performance. And but like I said, I still think more of the credit would still have to go to Belichick. I mean, he's right. Matt Castle, they, even though they didn't make the playoffs that year, they were 11-5 with Matt Castle at quarterback. And they finished second place in the division, but he just missed the playoffs that season. And so, yes, yeah, it's like I said, it's more of a credit to Belichick than anything else.
Agreed.
And I got to say, just a little side note, a lot of speaking of poise, I was very impressed with Trevor Siemian for the Broncos. This guy came out of nowhere, just dummy, and I was like, wow. I mean, just impressed to that game, too, against a pretty ferocious Carolina defense. He did a really good job, too. Now, he did have a great defense, too, but I just want to throw that out there. I thought that was fantastic, too. All right, gentlemen, let's talk about the top five teams. We've got about 8 minutes here. Let's talk about the top five teams in the NFL after week one. It's kind of early, but I don't think you kind of know exactly where your teams are until probably, like, you know, I heard someone say it's like middle or end of October, but give me your thoughts about your top teams, and I'm going to start with you, Rob, after week one.
You know, I'm still going to go with my team that I picked to win the Super Bowl, and that's Pittsburgh Steelers. I think that was a pretty impressive win. They pretty much dominated the Redskins on the road on Monday night. And, you know, you look at this team, I mean, the offensive line is there, the quarterback's there. When you get Le'Veon Bell back, you're going to have a 1-2 punch at running back with he and D'Angelo Williams. Antonio Brown is just uncoverable. He's the best receiver in the game. They're getting enough play from the tight end position, and their defense is better too. And so I have to go. I know JQ's not going to want to hear it, but I have to go with Pittsburgh number one at the moment. Number two, I'm going to go with Green Bay. I was a little worried about Jordy Nelson and how well he would come back. But obviously he was played extremely well this weekend and going on the road and beating a much improved Jacksonville team too, I thought was fairly impressive. So I think offensively they're going to be back to where we've used to seeing them. A lot of people forget offensively they really struggled in the second half of the season last season. The wide receivers were struggling to get open. They had a hard time protecting Aaron Rodgers. Even he was struggling in the second half of last season. So I think they're kind of going to be back to where we've seen them at a few years ago. And we just talked about the Patriots. I have them at the number three position. This team is only going to get better. Another thing we didn't even talk about that, you know, they won that game on the road without Gronkowski as well.
Yep.
And so that was another thing that, you know, you give credit to Belichick. They could easily be the number two team on this list. But right now I'm going to have them at number three. Even though Seattle struggled, I'm going to still put them at number four position. If you look at the history of Seattle and Pete Carroll, they always struggle at the early part of the season, and they get better as the season goes along. I still expect that to take place. And obviously Russell Wilson hurt his ankle. It looked like he's going to go this weekend, though, but I have them in the four position. I've moved Denver into the top five. I have them at the number five spot. Obviously, I was a little worried about them with the quarterback position. And they did show some weakness in their interior defensive area, but they're still premier when it comes to pass rushing the quarterback. So they have those guys that can get through the quarterback on the edge, and they still dominated the offensive tackles of the Carolina Panthers this past weekend. So I moved them up to the number five position, and it looked like they will be just good enough offensively to probably win some games this season.
JQ.
Yeah, it's so early that now, I mean, I'm just going to talk about five that I think are the top five. I think you could you know, make an argument for some to be up higher or lower.
Sure.
I'm going to stay with Denver and Carolina in my top five, because I feel like even though Carolina lost, they still put one heck of a show on the road. And I think if they had to play anybody else other than Denver, they probably would have won maybe outside of maybe Pittsburgh or say New England. But I still think they would have won most of the other games this week if they had to play anybody other than Denver, you know, on the road to start the season at the defending Super Bowl champs ring ceremony. I mean, that's a lot. And they had a chance to win, too, as well, with Gano missing. So I'm going to put those two in there. I'm a fan of the AFC, and I think you guys talk about, you know who I'm talking about. That's a good showing without Le'Veon Bell. Without Le'Veon Bell, without Bryant. I mean, you got to give him credit where credit is due, and maximizing the matchup of moving Antonio Brown around and not singling him up on Norman and making a harder day than it needed to be for him. And the Patriots, to what we talked about, with Garoppolo and no Gronk. Hogan and Edelman and Blunt, and that defense was just, they just, like I said, they just do their job. Bill Belichick, if you hate him, love him, but he gets it done. And fifth, I would go with Seattle. That game, I could have been a bigger scoring game for them, but that Sue stepping on Russell Wilson's ankle, that changed a lot because he couldn't run anymore after that. And I was watching the game, actually, and he was just, and he basically had to become a pocket passer, which he can do.
So
if you take his scrambling out of it, then you take a piece of it away. And I will put Green Bay just outside of it. But they, you know, I know it's hot in Jacksonville, but they struggled a little bit more with Jacksonville than I thought they would. So I will put them just outside of that five zone, maybe at about six.
Cowboy John 8-22-88 just hits me up and think about those numbers the one over here. He's talking about the Cowboys, man. I don't know. The Cowboys fans are coming at us. The woodworks over here, man. He just thinks that the future's right in spite of that crazy your boy didn't get out of bounds, but he still thinks that the Cowboys should be a force to be reckoned with. All right, I'm gonna let that.
That still would have been like a 60-yard field goal, though.
I know, man. It was just funny, man. I'm just tripping out. Hey, Rob, I know we want to talk about I want to get the fantasy shout-outs in really quickly. We got about 2 minutes and 45 seconds. You have time to do the fantasy shout-outs before we do our OT portion, sir? You want to do that right now?
Let me squeeze it in really quick. League number one, the phenomenal one, had the biggest win over the week over the Big Fast and Strong, 166.12 to 121.44. Congratulations, the phenomenal one, Chris out of Orlando, with the biggest win over the weekend. Black and Gold Patrol from Atlanta areas in first place. League number two, Kid Calf 23 from the New Orleans area. The biggest winner of the weekend over Fleur de Lis, 161.02 to 92.80. ATL Black Belt Mark in first place in that league. League number three, the biggest winner, Ohio Players, co-host JQ.
Uh-oh.
Pete Irvin's team, 148.26 to 104.56. L's Co-Holics. In first place out of the New Orleans area. Those are your fantasy shout-outs. We're looking forward to week two. And next week we'll be on the air Tuesday night. Look like we're going to stick to Tuesday night for quite some time with Monday night football. So we'll be back on Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern next week, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. for our friends in the Bay Area, Los Angeles, Seattle. Make sure you all tuning in at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on next week. Don't miss it. Good night, people.
Take care.
Yeah, I got to give Rob some love. He kicked my butt. That was a back and forth. I left a lot of points on the bench, but I got to give him some love. He kicked my butt that league. And Tavon friggin' Austin, 13 targets and 4 catches. But appreciate everybody for tuning in. We're going to go on the OT portion. Download it. Listen to us next tomorrow. I'll holler at you next week. Stay classy, San Diego.
Make sure you all click on the same link to get our OT portion tomorrow. We got college football, some more NFL to talk about. So click on the same link, and you can listen to it on tomorrow. You don't want to miss that portion of the show as well.
Dude, I got to say, man, where's the love for the extra co-host, man? Was I the one that was undefeated, man? I was like 1-0 in all leagues, man. What about
you won every league? Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, okay.
Come on, man. Maybe I didn't get the biggest win of the week, but I was like, I was undefeated, man. What? Where's my love?
Hey, congratulations.
Come on, man.
In 4 leagues, I was 3-1.
I got to talk about what I was.
Yeah, it's all good, man. I'm just saying, man. I thought Rob was going to show me some love, man. That's why I tried to squeeze in that fantasy.
Hey, get your love, bro.
Hey, man,
you sound like you're giving it to yourself.
Yeah, that's right, man. Self promotion is the best promotion. Good night. Good night, folks.
Ricky Henderson's going to hit a home run. If you don't toot your own horn, nobody else will.
Ricky Henderson's going to steal five bases tonight.
Andre Peterson got to do what he got to do. Andre Peterson got to do what he got to do. Andre Peterson got to do what he got to do. Oh, gentlemen, we're officially into the OT portion.
Ricky Henderson, that was classic.
Hey, man, I'm old, man. I'm sorry.
That was awesome, JQ. Let's talk about this. And it seems like, you know, we're kind of in this, you know, theme as far as quarterbacks. And, yeah, it just seems like, once again, you know, I know you could care less about this, JQ, but, yeah, Cleveland, again, appears to be hamstrung with quarterbacks. I know this quarterback is still waiting for a call, Johnny Manziel and Tim Tebow. No, but I'm just serious. Look, so RG3, man, what's happening with this, man?
Bad,
I mean, what's happening with this, Rob? I mean, what were your thoughts about this? And you know, I actually hope that Hugh Jackson does pretty well, because I'm actually, you know, rooting for the guy. But it just seems like, you know, he's getting bad luck again. And maybe, is this a blessing in
bad luck?
Kind of down the is this kind of down the rabbit hole again, Rob?
Well, I tell you what, how many people was at Cleveland Cavaliers championship? 1.3 million people, and they can't find nobody out of all them people to come play quarterback for the Browns.
Wow.
Man, this should be the least. Wow. 1.3 million people. It seems like there's got at least 100 of those that could be potential quarterback that they could have been working
to
out Bill
Walsh
to find a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. How many did, I mean, Cleveland, the Browns have been back in the NFL since, what was it, 98, I believe? They came
99.
Back in the,
yeah.
99? Yeah, I think you're right, 99.
Yeah.
And they made the average 3 to 4 starting quarterbacks per season. So, I mean, this has been an ongoing struggle for the Cleveland Browns to find a quarterback. And the way RG3 got hurt, I don't know if you all seen the play, was just straight up ridiculous. I mean, come on, man. You can't be trying. You can't be the. Yeah, I mean, that was dumber and dumber. And I hate to say it.
Yeah.
That was dumb and dumber. Yeah. And now you got a shoulder injury that you may miss the season. This is your one opportunity to possibly get your career to turn back around. And now he's hurt again. And now you're going back to Josh McCown. So good luck, Cleveland.
Mm.
See, but Josh is going to give them a better chance to win, man. I remember that year with Alshon Jeffery and Brandon Marshall. But I digress. I do care, and I'd rather have RG3 quarterback than Josh McCown, if you want to be honest. If you want to be honest, I do.
Oh,
and I love
Hugh
Jackson, and I'm waiting on Marvin Lewis to give it up so Hugh can, because he's going to get fired in Cleveland, because everybody gets fired in Cleveland, and he's going to come back to Cincinnati. And Marvin's coming to GM. So that's the piece of it. But when you cast your lot with RG3, there's a 20% chance that this was going to happen, right? Like, we can't be overly surprised. It's not just, this is not rookie RG3, you know, breaking leg, you know, ankles and going 67 yards on the Vikings in overtime for the playoff victory. This was not that RG3. So, you kind of cast your lot with a very iffy proposition at quarterback anyway. So I can't really be so upset, even if it's the Browns. I know I'm biased, but I can't be so upset because you knew this was not a strong possibility, but it wasn't a remote possibility either. It was what would you call like 25-30% chance?
I would say a 3% chance.
No, I'm saying 25-30% chance that he was going to get hurt and it wasn't going to work out right.
Oh,
so
well, that was probably 97% chance.
Nah, I'm gonna take a
test. 97%.
You know, it wasn't remote. It wasn't strong, but it was in the middle of that. So I'm just saying all that to say that, you know, we shouldn't be overly surprised because it was still RG3, and that's just where his career was headed. And you gotta slide, bro. You gotta slide. You need to
slide.
Like, you gotta slide.
You live to see another day. You can't take those hits as a quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you said, I agree with you. This may be the end of RG3's career, and it's kind of sad because, I think that RG3...
It's unfortunate because I think you're kind of rooting for the kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just tough, man. I mean, like I said, it's just bad all the way around. But like you said, you know, you got to keep drafting until you get it right. So if you're the Browns,
You need to go back to the days. I think Bill Walsh did that. Whatever, he would just bring anyone for trials, and whoever can throw the
Deshaun
best,
Watson.
You may have your next quarterback.
Yeah.
Or Chad Kelly. I mean, you never know. I mean, it could be a couple of different quarterbacks out there, man. I mean, it's just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you got to keep going, and maybe they're going to trade for a guy. Maybe I'll trade Matt Ryan. I mean, I don't know, but we'll see how that plays out for sure, man. But whole new conversation there.
Ooh.
But yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
But Jake Browning has been really impressive so far for University of Washington. So that's just.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be – he may be getting in that conversation. He's been really impressive as well.
You stop that.
And I tell you what.
John Watson, you stop that. That's
and I tell you what,
happen.
It's only one game. But I think if you're a Browns fan, you might be you know, wanting to kick the Browns brass in the rear end after seeing the performance by Carson Wentz this past weekend too. I know it's just one game, but he's pretty solid.
No, they have multiple holes to fill. I get not getting Carson Wentz and trading down, but you're out of your mind if you think Brown is going to go before Chad Kelly and Deshaun Watson. No chance.
You never know.
Any day.
That's not my point. I wasn't saying that. I still have Watson as the number one quarterback in the draft, but as an option for the Browns in the draft, depending on where they get picked. No, and I wouldn't necessarily. No, Deshaun Watson is still my number one pick in the draft.
They draft in top three, bro. They ain't going to get that far down the path to be at the third quarterback. They're going to have their choice of a top quarterback.
Well, that's a good chance. You're right.
They need to draft, like, you know, two or three quarterbacks to make sure they get one of them right. That'd be my suggestion for the Browns, man. If you miss on one, get another one.
That's rough.
I mean, like I said, and it would be awesome if they were the Browns and their last quarterback was named Browning. That would just be, like, perfect. But, no. What I was going to say was also, if you're looking at, and like I said, I'm not a Cowboys fan, but, you know, once again, Dak Prescott, you know, like I said, a lot of quarterbacks drafted for him, and he looks pretty solid too. So sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, if you miss, you know, you might as well, hey, this guy, he wasn't drafted that high. You know, he I don't think he's the prototypical size. But again, sometimes you can strike gold. He reminds me of Russell Wilson, just very efficient, and he can be a surprise, and the Cowboys can kind of, like, get lucky again in that particular instance, too. So that's that's a little 2 cents
sure.
here. All right, gentlemen, we got to.
Well, kind of, you know, the draft
here.
Is not an exact science. So, I mean, it does take a little bit of luck. And some of your trades and all of that even takes a little bit of luck. And so, unfortunately for the Browns, the luck is just not going in their favor.
Sorry, Mario. My cousin Mario.
Bad
but they hopefully got the right guy, but still, you just never know. Sorry, Mario. Like, so my cousin, he's a Cleveland Brown fan, so, you know, it's all good.
Sorry
anyway.
To that, Mario.
Yeah, I know, right?
we all agree that Jeff Fisher will not be coaching the Rams out of the season, so we'll continue on. I want to get to the predictions, but I want to talk about if you guys thought the win last night was impressive by the 49ers, and I'll kick that off with you, JQ, first and foremost.
Well, you know, I'm not gonna blow too much smoke up the 49ers' butt because they cost us two Super Bowls. So, you know, how I feel about them as a franchise. But I think they just went into just a seriously inept offense in Los Angeles. So let's let it play out a little bit more. I still don't think that San Francisco team is going to be good, but they just played the worst team in LA, I think, and they won at home and they won in California.
Carlos
Hyde,
bro. Carlos Hyde. That's what you're talking about.
Hey, man.
O-H. All right, go ahead, Rob. Your thoughts, man.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was more so the opponent that they were going against, and they took care of business. They did what they were supposed to do, but we won't see too many games this season that the 49ers will score 28 points. I'll have to, but defensively they might be a little bit better than what I thought. I'll at least admit that. Eric Reed, that guy's a beast.
And Bowman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Bowman, yes.
And Bowman,
yeah. Defensively, they're going to be better than what I thought. I didn't think the defensive line would be that good. As far as Buckner, I thought played well, too, the rookie.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be honest, guys. I wasn't sure what to expect. But, you know, anytime you go out with Blaine Gabbert, you're thinking, you know, against that Rams defense, I thought it would be more of a challenge. And that's why I was had to be impressed, but I was like, okay, all right. You know, now granted.
Well, he was average.
Offensively. He was average, but I'm saying, you know, if you would have thought that, I thought it would be a little closer game, honestly, you know, because of the defense that the Rams had. So I was like, huh, all right. Now, yeah, he wasn't a world beater, but he did just enough. And you're like, man, all right. So, you know, fair enough from that perspective, too. So I'm not saying it was like, you know, like Super Bowl. Yeah, yeah.
Well, he was better than Case Keenum, that's for sure.
Yeah, man.
True indeed.
Might be better than
True
Case
indeed.
Keenum.
Yeah, I'll give you that, too. All right. Let's get to these predictions here. I know we got a lot of things to talk about, and we're going to kick it off right with the JQ right out the gate.
You don't even have to.
At the Steelers, bro. Go ahead,
you
bro.
Know,
what,
you,
what?
You know exactly what I'm getting ready to say. I got one word. One word. Bengals. It's on you,
Bengals.
Well, I
got
to go with the Steelers
win?
At home. Like I said, I think they're the best team in the league. So I got to go with the Steelers at home.
I'm not picking them.
JQ, I rode AJ Green all the way to victory, bro. Even against Revis Island, bro. I was all in that. I'm just saying, man. I'm just saying.
Yeah, thank you.
I knew
you.
That one. You're
thank
welcome.
You.
Love
appreciate
it, bro.
You.
I'm not saying, I was just saying, dude, AJ Green, man. Anyway, all right. Let's talk about the next matchup, Kansas City at Houston. Let's start off with you, Rob. What do you think about this game?
I like the Texans. I like their defense. I think they're good enough offensively. They're going to be solid. I think they win a close one at home.
Yeah, you got to go. You got to go. Yeah, you know, and I think it's because we thought the Chargers were going to be pretty bad. The Chargers gave Kansas City a run. So
that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your pick, Rob? I'm sorry. It was
I'm going with
said?
The Texans. I'm going with Houston
okay,
at home.
Yeah, you
me
agree
too.
With that too, JQ? Okay, cool.
Yep.
And then finally, let's end it with the Green Bay at Minnesota. This was another interesting
Ooh.
Game in that the Minnesota defense is once again playing well. And Sean Hill, we'll see if he's going to start. He did just enough, as what we talked about, you know, because Adrian Peterson didn't have a breakout game. But defensively, they're able to kind of get by, and you know, Sean Hill kind of par for the course. So what do you think about this particular game? I'll start with you, JQ.
I'm good. Listen, if it's Aaron Rodgers versus the Sean Hill, Sam Bradford combo, you go ahead and mark me down for Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to go with Green Bay on the strength of that alone. I know that Minnesota defense is good, and Mike Zimmer gives Aaron Rodgers more fits than most coaches, but he's 3-1, I think, or something like that against Minnesota since Zimmer's been the head coach. I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers against that quarterback combo all day.
Rob.
I think Green Bay is the better team. I think Green Bay is going to win the division. But I like Minnesota in a slight upset, 2 to 3 point victory at home.
Wow. Interesting call. So we got to hear that, America. I think I'm kind of leaning towards Minnesota as well. But we'll see, man. That's a good call about that. We got 2 minutes, guys. Do you want to talk really quickly about these predictions really quickly, college football? Let's go down there really
quick.
Let's
squeeze them in real quick. We may have to get one word answers.
You know what my first one is.
Yeah, JQ.
Ohio State.
JQ? Rob.
Ohio State. Can't go with Bob Stoops.
100%. 100%. Florida State, that's Louisville. Rob.
Florida State in a close one. Lamar Jackson is the real deal for Louisville.
Get off.
JQ. Alabama, Ole Miss.
Alabama,
yeah, and another tight game, though. I'm thinking 3-point win at Ole Miss.
Alabama,
wow.
14.
Yeah. Nice. Notre Dame at Michigan State, great game. JQ.
Kaiser, Toledo, Notre Dame.
Wow. Nice. Rob.
Notre Dame as well. Picking all the road teams. Notre Dame got too much speed on the perimeter. Michigan State's a little weak in the secondary. I think Notre Dame wins.
Awesome call. Man, good times, gentlemen. We got a minute. Rob, go ahead and wrap up the show, man.
Next week, people, back on Tuesday night, we'll recap your football weekend, get you started for the following weekend, so you don't want to miss us on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. You don't want to miss it. Good night, people.
JQ.
Yes, sir. How about you next week? Good as always, fellas.
As always, appreciate that. And like I said, I'm glad you got to able to talk about some sports with you, JQ, man. It's been a pleasure, man. It's what we always talk about.
Appreciate
man. You. Just keep it going. America, that's what we like to do. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, all that fun stuff. Once again, we're on Tuesday next week. And yes, I got to say really quickly, get rid of Ryan Lochte. He should not be dancing on the stars, man. That's my little two cents on that too, man. So
yes,
cut
sir.
That last
one. Okay,
all you got to do is crazy.
Don't capitalize on that BS. Yes, sir.
There it is.